This is Cross Currents. I'm Carolyn Heldman. Thanks for tuning in. On today's show, the Aspen International Mountain Foundation. The AIMF is a Colorado nonprofit dedicated to promoting sustainable development in the world's mountain communities. Its primary mission is to provide a global and regional voice and share best practices across the region and around the world. AIMF is a governing member of the UN Global Mountain Partnership. In October 2013, Vertex, a joint initiative of AIMF and the Telluride Institute, was confirmed as the representative for the Mountain Partnership's North American, Central American, and Caribbean region. On today's show, Carino DeVore, the president and founder of the Aspen International Mountain Foundation, and board member Eric Smith. They've both recently returned from the World Mountain Forum, or WMF, in Mbale, Uganda, where they represented the AIMF and engaged in discussion on four thematic areas of interest. I asked Carino to tell us about the organization's history.
Back in the 90s, I was one of the founders of the Sister Cities program, and we started several conferences on sustainable mountain development in our sister cities. And we had a conference here, we had a conference in Shimokapu, Japan, and in Chamonix. And the focus was on how we could share indicators, how we could share issues, and how we could promote sustainable mountain development. In 2002, a friend of mine at UNEP, the director of UNEP, let us know that they were making that year the Year of the Mountains and that we should really amp up our program. And at that point, Aspen Sister Cities was more involved with children's exchanges. So we became a nonprofit. We started Aspen International Mountain Foundation and began to work with the United Nations on mountain issues.
I've had many conversations with Steve Skadron, and the idea that these mountain communities are canaries in a coal mine, in a sense. Will you explain that to the listener?
Mountains are really important to the overall environment. I mean, most of our fresh water comes from mountains. And these mountain communities, particularly in the Rocky Mountains, you know, are very, are thriving. And, but there are problems. And Aspen, in particular, for example, has done a great job with environmental issues. And one of the things that AIMF, the Aspen International Mountain Foundation, wants to do is kind of bring all the mountain communities into working together on mountain sustainability issues, environmental issues. It's still in its infancy, and it's one of the things we want to do is get other. Park City is a part of the Mountain Partnership, which AIMF is affiliated with, and we want to bring in other mountain communities too.
The UN Mountain Partnership is based at the Food and Agriculture Organization in Rome. There are, 65 countries that are members. The U.S. never joined. Canada is not a member. So, in fact, through our efforts, the city of Aspen became the first government entity to be inducted into the UN Mountain Partnership. And following that, Basalt, Snowmass is potentially a member. They were invited. Park City, Salt Lake City, Telluride. So there are very few cities. Aspen really was at the forefront of working with this UN agenda.
You mentioned that United States was approached or perhaps lobbied, I don't even know the right word to use, to join nationally the UN Mountain Partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And they declined. I'm curious about that.
Well, we've talked to senators. We've talked to the EPA. Their reason is, number one, the U.S. joins very few of these types of organizations. And especially in 2002, I think that was Bush, the U.S. didn't join UN partnerships often. And they felt that this was more of a regional issue. So it wasn't there was no reason that they were against the UN partnership.
Mm-hmm.
There's no funding involved. Countries are not expected to fund it. They are hoped, there's a hope that they'll fund it. But it was really just a matter of the U.S.'s patterns and the fact that they thought it should be a regional issue.
I don't think it's fair to say that the U.S. rejected
it.
It just didn't gel at the time. And, you know, at some future time, maybe it will. I think the election has put a damper a little bit on the United States' efforts in the climate change and environmental area. But you know.
I mean, the obvious countries are Switzerland and Italy are the main donors, as well as the U.N. The World Bank is a donor to the Mountain Partnership. Other countries are Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Peru, Nepal, Austria.
Russia?
Russia actually is not, and China is not. But there are 65 countries. So Cuba is a member.
Huh.
3 years ago at the Global Mountain Summit, AIMF, Aspen International Mountain Partnership Foundation, was elected to represent the Mountain Partnership on the board for North America, Central America, and the Caribbean. So our countries, we have many organizations, we have many NGOs in the U.S. and Canada, but the countries are Mexico, Cuba, Costa Rica, Panama. Anyway, it's an interesting organization. And when when the mountains get together, it's very global, it's very international, and there are many NGOs from the U.S., but the U.S. itself is not a member.
You mentioned the sister cities.
Mm-hmm.
Are all of our sister cities in some form partners in this organization?
All the countries except, I think, Japan is also not a member, although last year Japan designated a day in August as National Mountain Day. So they're very interested in mountains. And one of the, Partenkirchen, Germany is a member, Chamonix is a member, Argentina, yes, all of every country, and we've had programs together with all of these communities, and it's interesting. You know, we share a lot of similar issues: housing, transportation, climate change, lack of snow. So all of our that was the basis of our getting involved, was to work with our sister cities on issues that we might have in common.
This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. My guests are Corinne Yo DeVore. She's the president of the Aspen International Mountain Foundation, and Eric Smith is a board member of the AIMF. They've recently returned from the World Mountain Forum, or WMF, in Mbale, Uganda, where they represented the Aspen International Mountain Foundation and engaged in discussion on four areas of interest: mountains and climate change, mountain communities and their livelihoods, mountain ecosystem services, and sustainable mountain agriculture. Tell me about your backgrounds. Eric, why don't you start?
I'm a lawyer, and for 10 years I worked at PBS, actually. I was senior VP and general counsel at PBS and worked a lot with NPR. I'm basically a copyright lawyer and a trade lawyer, and I'm president of a big trade association that represented what are called the copyright industries. And our efforts were to bring better protection for U.S. copyrights outside the U.S. So my work was in Russia, China, mostly the developing world. And that's kind of how I got involved with Carino when I retired in 2011. I had no interest in staying with that particular job or area. And I always wanted to do environmental issues. So she invited me to be on her board.
And Carino, you've got a long history, many roots here.
I do. But my background in mountains, my family had a home here, so I was a part-time resident. I married a full-time resident of Aspen, high school class president Nicholas DeVore, when I moved back here. But I have most of my life lived in mountains. I spent several years in Chamonix in my 20s. I lived in the Japan Alps and was on the ski patrol in the Japan Alps. I ski raced for the University of Utah and for CU. I've spent time in Afghanistan in the mountains back. So I just have a passion for mountains. And my kids are very involved in the mountains, and it's my passion. I used to work, I spent 10 years in Africa working for a small organization that was part of the World Bank, a private foundation. And I lived in Lesotho, which is the most mountainous country in the world, and skied there. In fact, I was the Southern African International Ski Champion in Lesotho. But
there were two or three of you.
No, there was somebody from the. I raced against people from the Austrian ski team, and I just had the advantage because I lived there. I knew the crinkly.
And before we go to Uganda, which is from where you have recently returned, can you tell me the mission of the organization?
Well, Aspen International Mountain Foundation's mission is to promote sustainable mountain development. But our mission is also to bring together mountain communities and to promote, obviously, advocacy. Over the last 5 years, I and others on our board have made trips to New York, to the UN, to work on the SDGs, the Sustainable Development Goals. We were in Paris. We had accreditation in Paris, and we worked on the Paris Agreement, the Climate Accord. We were in Rio. We worked on the document that came out of Rio, all having to do with mountains. But I think Eric has brought in some very interesting, more local ideas.
Oh, great. Let's hear about that.
Yeah, you know, in terms of promoting mountain sustainability, in the last couple of years, some very important things have happened. For one, and Carino was very involved in this with the Mountain Partnership, we have now the Sustainable Development Goals, and mountains are in three of those goals. So, and also the Paris Agreement. And those two, the Sustainable Development Goals and the Paris Agreement, are kind of a partnership. And what we are thinking about doing going forward is maybe getting Aspen and the Roaring Fork Valley involved in measuring how a pilot mountain community, our community, is doing measuring up to those sustainable development goals. Aspen has done a pretty good job, for example, on environmental issues, but the sustainable development goals are much broader. And one of the things that we're thinking of doing is developing indicators for measuring how a mountain community like ours is measuring up to meeting those sustainable development goals. When we were in Uganda, we met with some of the key people in Switzerland that are developing indicators for how to measure meeting those goals in the context of mountains. And one of the things that we are going to be working on, we hope, would be to take what the Swiss have done in terms of developing and articulating those indicators. If we can develop a pilot project for the Roaring Fork Valley, Aspen or the Roaring Fork Valley, a lot will depend on whether or not the data is there in Aspen or in Carbondale or in Glenwood. But if the data is there, we can start a pretty interesting project and then maybe carry it forward to other mountain communities.
How difficult is it to get the group to agree on a set of measurements? Because I would
there has been some work done on that. The UN has done a series of indicators generally, not focused on mountains, but generally on how to meet. Their first report was in 2016, looking at some of the key indicators, poverty, health, things like that. It's very rudimentary now in terms of developing the data, but it's only been a year or two, I think. If we can develop a pilot project like that, it'll be terrific, because then we can move it to other communities and develop really how are we doing? Are we sustainable? And it could be really interesting.
You mentioned that the Aspen International Mountain Foundation was at Paris. You were in Rio. We're sitting here on a particularly dry November. And last week, an astonishing event in the United States where we, out of nowhere, seemingly to most pundits, elected a new president. And on his advisory committee, at least until as of today that I saw, is a climate denier. And during the campaign, one of the things that Donald Trump was promising was to tear up the Paris Agreement, or the United States participation in the Paris Agreements. How concerning is that?
I'd say it's disappointing. It's hugely disappointing. I was supposed to be, actually right at this moment, the Mountain Partnership has a side event in Marrakesh, Morocco at COP22, the climate conference, and I was supposed to be there. I'm not, obviously. But the reports that I'm getting back, of course, are huge disappointment in what could happen. However, from what I've been told and what we've read, it could take 3 to 4 years for this new administration to nix the Paris Agreement. It's not something they can slash. They cannot participate, and they cannot support it, but they can't eliminate it. So it exists, and there's huge will, I think, in this country to work on the Paris agreements and the SDGs. In saying that, I think that we're just all going to have to work harder, and because the U.S. has been a little bit reticent to join and sign on to these agreements in the past decade, the rest of the world moves on. They are very committed. The rest of the world is hugely committed to the Paris Agreement, and you know, I guess we all can be hopeful that there might be an awakening.
I mean, it's incredible how the rest of the world is committed to the climate change agenda. We're the only country in the world that is denying that there's climate change. And, you know, when we were in Uganda, it was clear that these governments are completely, they're afraid, and they're very committed. So I think it'll move forward. The U.S. There's something called the Green Climate Fund, which is $100 billion that the developed world has promised to help developing countries adjust in the climate area. It's clear that the U.S. was to be the major funder of that, to put up a lot of money, and I don't think the new administration is going to do that. So that's going to be a big disappointment, and a lot of countries and other developed countries are going to pull back, probably, hopefully not, but probably, if the U.S. doesn't participate in that.
This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. My guests are Carinho DeVore. She's the president of the Aspen International Mountain Foundation, and Eric Smith is a board member of the AIMF. They've recently returned from the World Mountain Forum, or WMF, in Mbale, Uganda, where they represented the Aspen International Mountain Foundation and engaged in discussion on 4 areas of interest: mountains and climate change, mountain communities and their livelihoods, mountain ecosystem services, and sustainable mountain agriculture.
2 meetings in Uganda. The World Mountain Forum is a gathering of governmental and NGO researchers and scientists who focus on mountains. There was a 3-day meeting there, and then following that was a meeting of the steering committee, the Mountain Partnership. And because AIMF is on the steering committee, we participated in that meeting. And the World Mountain Forum came out their document that they haven't finalized yet, but will be in the next week or so, or a few weeks, laid out what the world needs to do to bring more awareness to mountains and move the mountain sustainability agenda forward. It was a successful meeting. The steering committee went over a lot of internal issues with respect to funding and moving the Mountain Partnership forward, making it more sustainable in itself. So there wasn't any huge outcome from that, in particular, but be scheduling the next General Assembly meeting of the Mountain Partnership, where all the Mountain Partnership members get together. And that'll be next year.
But here's a country like Uganda that the vice president attended. We were up in the mountains in Mbale, which is at the foothills of the mountains. There were, you know, ministers of environment from all over the world, not just Africa. Whenever we traveled, we had a military escorts. And people, you know, the rest of the world takes this very, very seriously. And the presentations were some very technical, as Eric said. There were scientists there that are working, IUCN, people that are working on mountain issues, people that are working on their own governmental methods of working with mountains, but it's important. Water, I'd say water is the issue.
The other thing about that happened, it didn't really happen in Uganda, but His Holiness, and I had a hard time pronouncing his name, Drikung Kyabang Chetsang, one of the holiest lamas in the world, has now agreed to devote the next 4 years of his life, at the end of his life, to promoting mountains and mountain sustainability in connection with a mountain partnership. And he has millions of followers all over the world. And he was there, and he is an absolutely amazing man. And he will be a spokesman for the Mountain Partnership. There are three or four lamas, the holiest lamas in the world, right under the Dalai Lama, and he's one of them. So it's going to be amazing.
And he might come to Aspen in June.
Yes.
Some powerful allies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also, we're hoping to get the Prime Minister of Bhutan to come to Aspen.
We started working in Bhutan. We had a delegation here from Bhutan. And we were introduced to Bhutan from the World Bank as an organization that came from a community that was stellar in the world. So even though the U.S. may lose a bit of credibility in this area, Aspen remains quite a significant example
leader
in throughout the world. People know about Aspen. They know about the work that the ski company is doing, that the city does, that the region, that our valley does. So we have linked Aspen and Bhutan together because of some of the like-mindedness of the country and the community.
Let me pivot back to one thing on the four thematic areas of interest of the Aspen International Mountain Foundation. One is mountains and climate change. Two is mountain communities and their livelihoods. Tell me about how you approach that. Well, there's some conflict there with resort, with development, with recreation. How do you approach that?
The Mountain Partnership puts a lot of value in. We are not obviously representative of the poor nations, the marginalized mountain communities, but we are affected by the environment, and we're affected by the climate, it's hugely important for first world resorts like ours to be leaders, and what we do climatically here affects downstream users. Our water, 60 to 80% of the world's fresh water comes from mountains, and we know that we are the headwaters of water of water here. And so, what we do affects downstream users, and the Mountain Partnership puts a lot of effort into helping marginalized communities in the third world. And we just did an incredible publication on food insecurity in mountain areas. So there's a huge difference, obviously. But ecotourism is important, and it's just one of the areas that we focus on. And much of the support for other countries comes from Switzerland, Italy, places where nonprofits in the U.S., people and organizations that have a huge understanding of what the needs are and have the capacity to help. We also started a capacity program to help fund programs in developing mountain communities, to help women, to help agricultural programs, to help. We've started a labeling for mountain products to try to bring higher value to products that come from small programs in mountainous countries, honey or weaving or whatever. But we're trying to help bring recognition and value to anything that comes from mountain regions.
How can people get more information about your organization if they want to donate or get involved?
Well, we have a website, AIMF.org, and people can go to our website and find out what our mission is and what we do. I think what we've been saying is that we're in a building mode. We haven't been that well known. We've been spending a lot of our energy kind of building a network internationally, and then we want to bring all of that home. And one of the ways we want to do that is through these sustainable development goals and bringing them to Aspen. And I think that'll be a very interesting thing.
For those that are aware of what goes on internationally at these UN organizations and even at the U.S. level, oceans over the last decade have had huge prominence in how we direct our funds from our country. And that's been a lot of little island nations and Jacques Cousteau and people working to create an alliance to focus on oceans. And the Mountain Partnership is trying to do the same. We're trying to create focus on mountains. And Uganda, the message that came out of Uganda was to try to come together as mountain regions, mountain countries, mountain towns, to bring together this coalition of mountainous groups so that we can have more focus and more understanding about mountains.
Eric Smith, board member of Aspen International Mountain Foundation. Karen Yeo DeVore is the founder and president of the Aspen International Mountain Foundation, just back from Uganda. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. If you missed the show or would like to hear it again, go to our website, aspenpublicradio.org. Have a great afternoon.